I need an ambulance. It's broken. It's definitely broken. All right, but move out the middle of the road or you'll get run over too. Casting a nervous glance at the rapidly approaching vehicle, the small creature began pathetically to haul the massive bulk. Straining muscle and stretching sinew. Come on, big lad. Gotta move. As the engine noise grew louder, the big lad twitched. But the flood had left lad heavy, and so Arthur sat, unwrapped his oilskin, removed his matches and said, Let's see how much they want you. The vehicle ploughed across the wall of red, riding through on Catherine wheels of flame. She wanted it back. He should have known better. Lad pushed against the gravel and started to roll downhill. Arthur lit the match, causing a trail of fire, and the oil ignited. Glimpsing movement through the acrid smoke, she turned and, pausing only to glance at the sleeping bundle beside her, activated the device. Nowhere to hide, except under the bulk of Lad, Arthur pushed a mass of flesh high, threw himself under, the stench of Lad flesh. From her high perch, the giant she-eagle polished its talons and surveyed the scene, wondering what lad flesh tasted of. Panting, Arthur watched as the sky began to fall steadily around them. The ground was changing colour. Device now activated, she smiled. Deep within Lad, twitching wires conspired to stand him up. His eye angled itself skyward. She-Eagle was too far into her descent to stop. Amid flurry of feathers, Arthur found himself attached to a talon and flying through the air, a passenger on an unwilling eagle. The car screeched up. The gang surrounded Lad. Having taken care of Arthur, she knew that powerless without him, Lad would take her to it. Cloudbound, Arthur finally tuned to the She-Eagle's frequency and replaced her connection with his own. He could see the ambulance. Lad slumped, defeated, sirens dopplering. What brings men to this? Oh, Arthur, I don't blame you, your exit. Fly far. Arthur?
Thank you, exalted friend, intoned Arthur, transmitting from the bird's copper brainstem. The message will not share your fate. Confused and sweating, the big-chinned man with glasses sat upright in bed. What a strangely disconnected dream, he thought. A wormhole away, Sage addressed Nanolab. Total adoption of reality as unconscious theatre in humans' minds secured. Time for intervention. In the cramped, stifling lab where truths are forged, the team gathered, staring at the bank of monitors, awaiting instruction with fervour. A figure appeared, spread across the screens, as the boss revealed himself for the very first time. The team gasped. They knew him already. Suddenly the monitors vaporized. Zoe stood in the door frame, pointing her phaser. I think we all know why I'm here. Hand it over. Big Chin Man's brain was now a synaptic battleground of a lost thing, phasers and eagles. Breakfast was carnage. He had a mission. Let's do this, Big Chin Man exclaimed. His journey through time and space had begun, leaving cold loneliness once and for all. Big Chin Man knew Zoe was the key to it all. He also knew she was impossibly far away. There was nothing else to do but travel the black hole. In the impossible mass of a black hole, a quantum chin can be the whisker split between king and jester, the smirking divide. Big Chin Man moved towards the figure in the distant orb of light. "Arthur, is that you? How can this be? Help me find Zoe." "Yes, Walter, it's me, and I'm not alone." Squinting deep into the shadows behind his old friend, he gasped, Lad? The team turned from the monitors to look at Zoe. "The lad is in his head," said the supervisor. "He is different now." Zoe knew what to do. "He is not to reach me, not yet," said Zoe as she left the lab. Truth could no longer give her what she needed. No, she needed to go upstairs. She busied herself. Truth, or whatever was left, was within her sight, and then she noticed the pink and green shadows too late. If only she could turn around or call the pink and green shadows over to her, but she knew they could not hear. They needed to see her eyes. The recoil span him around. Cope twitched with a mix of nausea and delight, and a single bloody teardrop traced his cheek. "My turn." He moved the painting his mother created in her youth to one side, reciting the numbers she sang to him as a child. He stared at the keypad. Suddenly he paused as a distant memory entered his head, and from that moment he knew things had just changed forever. Count to 13, but never be seen. Hide in the shadows, the pink and green. It worked. Just like them when they were kids. Zoe stood before him. "Feeling nostalgic, Zoe? I haven't seen you in that form for a very long time." She remained silent, unblinking. He turned back to the safe. "Step back from me, witch!" His eyes burning flame. Hand clasped on the phone, he tried to remember. Dark swirls atop him. Where was she now? The nanoworms twitched. Zoe was one with the power lines at last. "Don Juan's little rituals won't help you now, Cope." He continued to stamp. Zoe's essence tore out of her, and reality bent in twain as Cope opened the infinite rip. He grabbed the safe, pulled it from the wall, and ran. He had to get the safe to room 13. He could feel Zoe behind him like a white wind. The rip was cheap. He could see ghouls in the wormhole,